From Anshe Spar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Tachanun, the most powerful prayer. If we look in the shul and we see people davening and praying, we notice that at some point they fall on their face, put their arm down, put their head on their arm, and they say a special prayer, Tachanun. What's the significance of this prayer, and why does it make a difference? The Gemara in Bava Metzia, page 59a, mentions a story of the unfortunate cherem, the ban that was placed on Rabbi Elazar, one of the great teachers and scholars of the Mishnaic period, teacher of Rabbi Akiva, and great mystic, perhaps. And he was, due to his having decidedly gone against the community, he was excommunicated. And as such, he was very mad at the head rabbi. Now, the head rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, the prince of the time, that was his brother-in-law. So his wife was concerned because she knew that if Rabbi Eliezer would pray his heart out, somehow Rabbi Gamliel, her brother, would perish. So Ima Shalom, that was her name, she was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, and she was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. And from that time on that he was placed in excommunication, she would never let him fall on his face. In those days, perhaps they used to prostrate themselves completely. Today we fall on our left arm. In the morning, if we're wearing tefillin, we fall on the right arm. But there was one day, it was Rosh Chodesh, and they didn't say Tachanun. But she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, but it really wasn't Rosh Chodesh, so he did say Tachanun. And then, indeed, her brother died. Mystical story, hard to understand what it means. It's the stories of the Talmud, very enigmatic, very interesting. But we can learn a lot from this story. First question is, firstly, if you're supposed to say Tachanun, you're supposed to fall on your face at the conclusion of the prayers, then how could she stop him? She didn't let him pray that day. How could she stop him from saying it? And also, how could she stop him? Was she such a doting wife that every second she was watching his every move? How could she stop him? And if it's a matter of that he was going to pray against the brother-in-law, why didn't she just stop him from praying altogether? Why particularly the Tachanun prayer, the falling on the face, and the filat apayim? And also, what difference does it make if it's Rosh Chodesh? You don't pray on Rosh Chodesh. What difference does it make? So the Ritva, one of the commentators on the Gemara, says, how could she have prevented him from praying all day? Well, apparently she didn't. She let him say the prayer. She let him fall on his face. But if you interrupt between the Amidah and the prayer, then it doesn't count. So here we learn an important thing. The Tachanun has to be the conclusion of your prayers. You make your prayers, and then you say, I still haven't gotten there. I want to go one step further. I fall on my face. And then you really get into the prayer. And that's what she didn't want to happen. And she stopped him. If you break up that flow from the Amidah to the falling on the face, then it doesn't count. The prayers are just not as powerful. You have to warm up for prayer, and warming up to that prayer requires an uninterrupted period between the Amidah, the silent devotion, and the falling on the face, the Tachanun. The Magen Avraham says that she would drive him such a cub, she would drive him crazy to the point where he'd forget to say the Tachanun prayer. But if you interrupt, it's not such a big deal. Some people take it so seriously, they say that if you did interrupt, you shouldn't even, you can't say the Tachanun, but should certainly try not to interrupt after the Amidah, before the Tachanun prayer. Can't talk during the repetition either. The Ritva says we learn from here that you can't say Tachanun on a happy day, such as Rosh Chodesh. Now also we know he was excommunicated, so he couldn't go to the minyan. He had to be by himself. So we see that you could theoretically fall on your face and say these prayers even without a minyan. And that's what we do. We don't fall on our face unless there's a Torah, but it could be that he had a Torah in his house. So one idea is that the Tachanun is so powerful because it's part of the prayer. It's even the concluding part of the prayer. It's the clincher of the prayer. The Ra'ah, Rabbi Aaron Halevi, a Talmud, a student of the Ramban, he says it's a tefillah arichta. It's part of, it's an extension of the prayer, and that's why it's so important. Maybe it's a sealing of the prayer. Now, we do find in the Torah that some people fell on their faces to pray. David does it, but even before that, Moses does it. Aaron, they fall on their face and they say, well, one man sinned, Korach sinned, and everyone's going to die. Please save everybody. Not Korach, but save everyone else. Rabbeinu Bachya explains that there are three reasons why you fall on your face. Number one, you want to feel a sense of awe of God, and hopefully you get the divine presence. You want to show that you lower yourself and you make yourself humble before God. And also, you want to show your complete submission before God. Rabbi Melamed, popular teacher today, the Panini Halachos, he says that after davening, we are afraid to even show our face. How can we even dare to pray to God? We're sort of ashamed of ourselves. And also, he says, it also shows how pained we are over our sins. That's why in Nusach Sfarad, we also confess during this time. And we can't even lift our heads. We're in so much pain. The Zohar, not that we can fully understand the Zohar, but the Zohar seems to say that it's a time when a person sort of totally gives himself up to God and clings to God. And that's the time when you connect with your soul with God and get ready for the afterlife in which your soul truly returns to God. The Shem Yishmuel quotes the Ari, the great mystic, who says that you can't reach certain levels unless you give yourself over. You say, God, I'm ready to give my life for you. And that's the Nefilas Apayim. You give your life. That's why one version of the Tachanun prayer is Lech Hashem Nafshi Esad, that I give my soul to God. But we Ashkenazim are afraid to say those words, because what if we don't mean it? That would be a terrible thing to say, I give my life to you and I don't mean it. But the posture indicates that that's what you're talking about. The Matan Moshe says it's a type of hiding. We're ashamed. We don't want anyone to hear our confession. The Beis HaMikdash, they also had a little bit of space so that people wouldn't hear the confession of others. We don't want to publicize our sins. We don't want to sound like we're not ashamed of those sins. The Or Chaim says that it's through this prayer that all of our sins are forgiven, because after all, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu did so. And what is the position? What position should we be in? Well, we try all kinds of things. We fall on our face. We sit. We stand. But nachnu lo neda manasa. We don't know what to do. And we stand up as we say that, because we try all the positions that Moshe Rabbeinu did. We try to mimic all those positions. The Shmuel Aleket says you should lean on your left side. Why? Because we know that on Pesach we lean on our left side to show we're kings. So, you think you're a king? We have to fix that. We have to make a tikkun. We have to show we don't think we're kings. We think we're nothing. And therefore, we have to make ourselves more humble. Or perhaps it's the idea that you should see yourself as if you're praying in front of God. God would be in front of you. It's, so to speak, it would be God's right side, it would be your left side, and you want to be with God. That's how powerful this prayer is. Now, in the morning, most of us are righties, and we have our tefillin on our left hand. So can we still lean on our left hand? So the Ari in the Shulchan Ator, a very Hasidic book, he says, no, you should always lean on the left hand. And many Sephardic Jews do too. Some Sephardic Jews don't lean at all. They're afraid to pray. It's such a powerful prayer. You don't want to go that far in praying. Now, what's the actual source? Some bring the source of Shlomo, that Shlomo, he fell on his face and he made the prayer before God, and that's the source. What's the content? We mentioned we say one prayer about sin, and it's a beautiful prayer. It speaks about my bed melts from my tears. It's a very intense prayer. But Sephardic Jews recite a different psalm, which actually asks to give your life to God, and it also is according to the alphabet, like the acrostic of Ashrei. Psalm 25. Now, when do we say it? Well, everyone says it at Shacharit. In the morning you say it, unless it's a holiday. The custom in Bavel, in ancient times in Babylonia, was to say it at Maariv too. But we don't do that today. Nobody says it at night. We don't say Tachanun. We don't fall on our face. Now, most Jews do recite it at Mincha. Sephardic Jews, Ashkenazic Jews. But the Hasidim and the Nusach Sfard, like our synagogue, the Anshei Sfard, Beth Lameth congregation, we do not say Tachnun at Mincha. Why? So the Siddur of Tzlutzah d'Avram mentions that, well, maybe it's because it's so late, and they quote the Rebbe of Munkach, says that, you know, it's so late in the day. How can you say Mincha if Sfardim, Nusach Sfard, we tend to daven late. We tend to go in after the sunset. So how can you daven that late? However, let's say you have a Nusach Sfard shul, Chassidish shul, and they're davening before Mincha, before Mincha time. They're davening earlier in the day. They're davening at 3 o'clock. So they still shouldn't say it after. It's not sundown. So the Shulchan HaTorah, Rabbi Yitzchak Safrin, an ancestor of one of our former members here at Mindy's Chaper, he says, well, if you know that in the land of Israel, which is all that counts, that there it's already night, so how can you fall on your face? It's a time of judgment. It's a time of, if we don't fall on our face at night because it's the wrong time, well, if it's in Israel, it's night, then how can you fall on your face? But in that case, if it's in the summer and you're davening early, if you're davening at 1 o'clock, it's not nighttime yet in Israel. So he says, well, I'll tell you, he says, you know, some say, the Gaonim say, or Hashulchan quotes it, that the idea of falling on our face is not an obligation, it's something we could do, but still, so we should be lenient because it's not something we don't have to do. And also, it could be a great danger to pray at the wrong time, could be a great danger, so we shouldn't do it. So here at Anshei Sfard, we only do this prayer in the morning. But the prayer, so significant, it's a prayer that the Ima Shalom, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, the sister of Aram Gamliel, she knew from her family and her ancestors that this prayer is so powerful that it links it, it seals the deal. If whatever Rabbi Eliezer had in his heart about his brother-in-law, when he came to fall on his face, that prayer would be answered. It has so much power. It's the sealing of the deal. It's part of the Amidah. It's something we build ourselves up to it. We dare to stand before God in the Amidah, and then we knock ourselves down to say, who am I to stand before God? And it's in that humility that our prayers could hopefully be answered. Could be that it's a time for personal prayers, and that's what she was, Ima Shalom was worried that he would say his personal prayers during this prayer, and maybe that's what it's all about. This is a time when we hide our face, no one can hear, and you've really a time to pour out your heart. I melt my bed with the tears, and that type of intense prayer. In the Nusach Sfar, we actually confess our sins like it was Yom Kippur or a fast day. This type of intensity is the power of Tachnun. And we should, as we say Tachnun, we should realize it's not something you just sort of say, or as you're schmoozing with your friends, you should try to focus through the entire Amidah, entire repetition of the Amidah, congregational Amidah, and then refrain from speech, go right into the Tachnun, and try to pour out your heart in the prayer of Tachnun. A very special prayer. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sfard Beth Lameth congregation for our discussion of Tachanun. Join us each week for our discussion of various holidays, various laws, various customs, prayers, and the how-to videos as well. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.